This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نكاح مبارك
مبارك
زواج مبارك
مبارك
النكاح من سنتي ما قال النبي هو الصحيح نكاح مبارك
مبارك
As you walk together hand in hand Allah has given you a companion and friend to stand And always be seen as man and wife fulfilling the deen from this day on forever be true
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam We begin by greeting our brothers and sisters as well as our viewers saying Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhum Good to be with you again. We're still talking about the notion of people getting or wanting to get married for the wrong reasons. And so far we have mentioned three of them. We spoke about pressure, we spoke about loneliness and desperation, and then we spoke about sexual hunger. Meaning that people do not really intend to get married for the sake of getting married, for all the good reasons of getting married. Rather, they are either pressured into it, or they make poor choices because they are lonely and desperate, or because they have reached their sexual hunger limit. And before we move on to the next one, let me just say one thing. It is so sad that sometimes when people are employed abroad, outside of their either city or the vicinity that they live in, or sometimes in a different country, some of these laws and regulations are so unfair, such as a person works outside yet they're not allowed to bring in their family with them. And at the same time, they're not given enough vacation time to go back to their families. And what makes this sad is that a person is technically married, but practically they are far removed away from their home. So they neither have access to their spouses, they don't have access to their children. And this can go on for 2 years. In some places, people are allowed to take vacations only once every 2 years. And we're hoping that something like this would change, simply because it is very unfair for the people who are going there, giving their labor, giving their skills, giving their sweat to the betterment of the country that they go to. Yet, this is the kind of dealing that is taking place, and that is, of course, un-Islamic. And as I was reminded earlier on, that of the incident when Umar was walking in the evening in Medina or at night, he heard this woman reciting poetry. And she was reciting the poetry of how much she misses her husband. And had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watching her, she made a statement that this bed would have been shaken with people being on bed with her. And Umar was so shocked when he heard this, and he went and he asked his daughter as to how long can a woman withhold without her husband. And she pointed out that it was about 4 months. And Umar made a decision then that no army should be dispatched for a period of more than 4 months, meaning that people ought to be allowed to come back to their families, to enjoy what they have done, and that is to enjoy their marriage, enjoy their children, enjoy their spouses. So sometimes, even though people are married, but unfortunately they are forced into a position like this. But the fourth reason, sometimes people want to get married because it offers a distraction from their own lives. Like we said, it could be either family problems, it could be legal issues, or sometimes some people are just not doing well at school. They're not doing well at school, so what do? Say, well, I don't have a good job, I am not doing well at school, I might as well just get married. It provides escape for me. And when that happens, we think that we found the right person only to serve us as an excuse to avoid our own problems in life. And of course, remember, whenever we do this, we are usually compromising our principles and the values that we wanted in our partner. And some people have relationships because they are bored with the lack of passion in their own life, the lack of purpose in their lives. So they get into love affairs and make that their purpose. And what happens at that point is that the people fall in love with the distraction, but not necessarily with the person. They don't like how their life is at this point. So they pretend that they found a person and they liked it this way. But what they really like is that it has offered them a distraction from their own lives. Let me give you another example. Somebody is having a problem with his wife. Okay? Now there are several options. You can either work on the problems with your wife, or what can you do? You can think of, or you can think of divorce, or you can think of a second wife. Okay? And what happens is that the minute you start thinking this way, you know what happens? You put very little effort in your first marriage. Very similar to what we said earlier about the idea of emotional affairs. What it does is that now you begin directing your emotional energies outside your home. Remember when we spoke about emotional energies and how we want somebody to direct our emotional energies to and have that reciprocated by them? The minute we have problems with this and we find somebody else to direct our emotional energies to, you know what happens is that we are left with very little to give our own families. So that becomes a distraction from our problems. Pay attention to this. Because sometimes we think that, you know, what we're doing is right, and it may be, it may look right, but in reality, it offers a nice distraction from the problems that we are having. Does that make sense to you people? Moving on, also, another wrong reason for why we want to get married. Sometimes people just have emotional gaps. Very similar to the people that were lonely and they were desperate. Now with these people, it's an emotional and a spiritual gap. What happens when we are empty, emotionally and spiritually? We get involved to fill ourselves up rather than because we have found somebody who is right for us. Now, this is the whole idea of getting into it for the wrong reasons. It is not really the person that we found, but rather it is what the opportunity of marriage is offering us, regardless of who is the person that we are going to be with. Does that make sense? Okay. Remember, all these reasons is the concentration is on the situation and not necessarily is on the individual. And the minute we do this, we overlook all the major issues that could be going on with the individual, and we're just satisfied with either the solutions for our legal issues, getting away from the family that mistreats us, or sometimes we may even feel that we are filled up emotionally and spiritually. Or you look to others to fill you up in ways you should be filling yourself. This is a very crucial, important point. And that is, when some people are spiritually empty, there is a spiritual gap in their lives, what do we do usually? Say, I want to get married to become a better Muslim. Well, that's really nice, that marriage does offer us that opportunity. We can get married, and hopefully our spouse would encourage us to become better Muslims. But remember this. There are certain things in life that you should do to yourself, independent whether people are around you or they are not around you. And one of them is being a better Muslim. One of them is being a person who is emotionally and spiritually filled. Not necessarily to the max, but at least you have what it takes to carry you on as an individual. So sometimes we say, you know what, I want to get married because I want to be a better Muslim. What happens if you never get married? You're saying that you have absolutely no chance of becoming a better Muslim? Well, I'm feeling so much emotionally empty. So now we become emotionally in love with love and not necessarily with the person. So please do pay attention to this one as well. This is an interesting one. People get married because they feel guilty. I have had people who came to the masjid and they said, they're such nice people. They like me so much, I just can't say no to them. They don't necessarily like them, but they're feeling so guilty. Or, my mom loves this girl so much, I can't say no. I feel so bad for saying no. Or, my dad picked this guy for me, and my dad loves him so much, and I cannot say no. So people start feeling guilty. And they're not really interested in that individual. But what happens now that they go along with it? This is pressure coming the other way. Guilt. And some cultures are built on taking people on a guilt trip. You make people feel guilty. In many cultures, you know, parents would say to their children, I'll be mad at you. So children do it out of guilt. Or, you know, if you do this, I'll never talk to you again. And start doing and raising people just feeling guilty all the time. So what happens is that people would say, I did not want to hurt his or her feelings. Or they have a hard time saying no to people. Or sometimes people feel responsible for making other people happy. And they become what they call the suffering companion. I'll give you an example. I know of a situation where a family had a brother, a son, that had some mental difficulties. The person was very, very depressed. And they were just, you know, every now and then they would be admitted in and out of a mental institute. And his family stopped having fun. You come into the house, nobody would be laughing. You come into the house, people just don't do anything fun. And even when they are invited to weddings and what have you, they just go to the wedding, they show up there, they give their gift, and they come back immediately. They do not become part of that, you know, joyful spirit. And you know why they did this? Is that because they felt so guilty for having fun if there is a family member that was not doing well. And what they refer to this is as people who are engaged into becoming suffering companions. You all know what I'm talking about? That is such an important issue. If they are not having as much fun as I am, I cannot have fun. So we become literally suffering companions. We are their companions in their suffering. And remember this, by us becoming like them, it's not really changing their situation. What is happening is that we're just becoming like them. That's it. And that's why, remember what we said the other day, that attitude is very contagious. Attitude is very contagious. So you do not want to become a suffering companion. But most important is, we do not want to be motivated by guilt. We want to be motivated by love. We want to be with this person, not because we're guilty or we're feeling guilty. We want to be with this person because we are motivated by love. We want to be with this person for the sake of this person, not because I feel guilty about it. Guilt sometimes is justifiable. But if guilt does this to us, then that's a very unhealthy guilt, people. So we want to be motivated by love. We do not want to be motivated by guilt. Now, remember what we talked about. We said that people end up in bad relationships, either because they got into the relationship for the wrong reasons or because they ended up in the relationship with the wrong person. Very quickly, what are the wrong reasons? Pressure, loneliness and desperation, sexual hunger, distraction from your own life problems, trying to fill a spiritual or an emotional gap, or guilt. Good. These are some of the wrong reasons why people get into a relationship. Now, we want to talk about the fact that we do not want to end up with the wrong person. There are 10 kinds of people we must avoid, and we will speak about all 10 of them. Actually, we will have fun talking about all 10 of them, inshallah. But here I write a produce section in the market or in the supermarket. You know how sometimes people go into the supermarket to buy products? You all know what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't. But I suggest that you stay tuned to find out what it is that we will be talking about. So we'll take a quick break and we will be back with the produce section. Don't go away.